Hello and welcome to Ordinary, a podcast that aims to help Christians live for Christ in everyday life. My name is Josh Bannister and each week I'm joined by Graham Nichols and Mark Ventham, who are both pastors of Christ Church Haywards Heath. This week our topic is serving in the church. We cover the fundamentals of why we do serve in the church, who we're serving, and how we can serve the church, but we also touch on some other issues like, should we thank people when they serve in the church? Do church leaders serve as well as work for the church? And how can we make sure our lives are not so dominated by church service that we never make time to meet and build relationships with those outside of the church in order to be an effective witness in the community God has placed us? So enjoy the podcast and I'll catch you again on the other side.
Hello, my name is Graham Nichols.
And my name is Mark Bentham.
And I'm Josh Bannister and you're listening to Ordinary. This week we're talking about serving. Why do we want to serve in our churches?
Good question.
Thanks.
Do you want to answer it?
I'll begin to answer it by thinking, right throughout the Bible, there is stuff to do for God's people. So whether it's right in the Garden of Eden, where they're to serve in looking after the garden, or kind of fast forward to the temple, there are people serving in the temple. And they're the kind of practical, physical jobs to do. There's ministries to do. There's teaching to do. So right throughout the Old Testament, and then into the New Testament, the pattern that God's people do things together as God's people to serve the purposes of God and to make God's kingdom kind of happen on earth. That's kind of, it's inbuilt. It's not just a strange thing. It's part of who we are, is people who serve one another as we serve God.
Mm-hmm. Great answer. End of podcast.
See you next week.
So that, how does that work out in the New Testament church? So we talk in, and I think not unique to us in any way, shape or form, because it is the mission of the church, which is to make disciples of all nations. So if that is your mission of the church, and we as members of a local church are seeking to fulfill that mission, how do we do that, both internally and externally? In other words, to make that happen. And part of making that happen is our gatherings together on a Sunday, where we equip disciples before sending them out. And in order for that to happen, in order for evangelism to take place, things need to be done. And I think that's where the serving comes in. We're serving in order to serve Christ, in order to fulfill the mission of the church to make disciples of the nation.
Yeah, and in Ephesians 4, it talks about God appointing leaders, pastors, evangelists and so on in the church in order to prepare God's people for works of service. Mm. So there is the assumption that God's people will be serving. It doesn't say there what those works of service are, but presumably it's enabling kingdom growth to happen. So it's any serving that helps that happen, whether it's practical, whether it's a teaching role of some sort. Praying is a form of serving. So there's lots of ways of serving, but they're all about kind of animating yourself in order to promote kingdom growth. And so that's what the church is about.
And I think just to add in on that, isn't it? And that is the purpose, but the motive for serving is the gospel.
Yeah.
So sometimes, particularly because I'm sinful, I think that my service is somehow gaining me some benefit with Christ. No. The gospel saves me. Jesus, by his death and resurrection and ascension, is what saves me. And because he's saved me, I think part of my response is to then want to offer my body as a living sacrifice. That's what Paul says in Romans 12:1. He says, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, in view of the gospel, in view of all that Christ has done for you, which he's outlined in chapters 1 to 11, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. This is how you worship Christ in response to all he has done, is you offer your body as a living sacrifice. You serve. You serve through laying down your life for your family, for one another, ultimately for the glory of Christ. And I think sometimes we lose that. We get so caught up in serving the local church that we then end up thinking that the reason we're serving is just because, you know, we've got to get the chairs out in order to make church happen. Or, you know, I'm just looking after the kids. It's a babysitting service. No, on many accounts. But primarily we're serving because actually look what Christ has done. He has a glorious gospel message that has saved you. We want others to hear that message and his kingdom to grow. And ultimately we're just offering ourselves in worship to him through our service to him. So it's always a duty. It's always a delight, not a duty. It's always a pleasure in one sense. I think if you watch West Wing, they had that great phrase, you know, we serve at the pleasure of the president. It always makes you think, no, we serve at the pleasure of the king. You know, there is a sense we serve at his pleasure and it brings us pleasure to do so. And we so often, I think, get bound up in thinking, oh, I've just got to do my bit. This is, you know, like we're part of some golf club and it's my turn on the rota to clean the toilets, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know if golf clubs do that or not, but probably not. But you know, it can feel like that, but actually we've got to keep that big perspective in mind of why we serve. You know, we're serving the mission of the church because of what Christ has done for us.
I suppose it's so important to keep reminding the servers of the vision, right? I mean, in a business you have an organizational vision which motivates employees at every level to do their task, their daily task, which if you took them in isolation might seem pointless, but actually they serve towards a vision, an organizational vision. Is it similar in church? I mean, if those people forget, like you said, what is the big vision, what is the big reason that we're doing this, it can feel quite quickly like it's just a task that's pointless.
So I think it's not like a company vision, so it's always got to be a vision shaped by God's word and what Christ calls us to do. But yeah, you've got to keep reminding people the vision, but I think you've also sometimes just got to connect people with the vision. So sometimes you might have to sit down with someone perhaps who's in a practical ministry and just talk them through how their practical service enables kingdom work to happen, and kind of just connect the dots for them in that sense of showing that. So it might kind of sound obvious, but you know, someone who negotiates the electrical contract with the supplier, you know, they're in the end doing kingdom work. So it might sound rather kind of crass to say, well, you know, you're helping God's kingdom grow, but you kind of are, because then the lights can come on and you know, the musicians can have power for their instruments and we can amplify and all those sort of things. Yeah. So all because you negotiated that, you know, contract for the supply of electricity to the building. So every little bit kind of contributes, it all enables. That both helps motivate people, but it also helps them kind of prioritize to think, does this practical job I'm doing actually help, or does it get in the way of ministry? Is it about fulfilling some role in me because I quite like doing stuff like this, or is it actually helping? Is it the best thing for me to do? Does it help someone else serve in some way? So always kind of thinking, you know, what's best, what helps best. So I think, yeah, connecting people with the vision, articulating the vision ourselves, both really important things to do, I think.
And funny you said, like, literally I've got a meeting in a couple of weeks' time with our stewarding team. And part of that meeting will be to just keep casting the vision. That what you're doing isn't just about standing on a door or opening doors or getting people to seats. That's all part of it. But what you are doing is serving the gospel. Actually, how you welcome people says something about the gospel we are proclaiming. Mm-hmm. How you love people in the way in which you manage that is saying something about the God we worship and the gospel we're proclaiming. You know, actually we want people to see that actually you're helping in the stewarding of getting people into their chairs and helping people to sit down on time, in holding people back whilst we're praying, says something about the God we worship. And so we want to keep helping people to see that rather than just think, oh, I'm just managing, I'm like a crowd steward at a football game. No, you're doing something far more important. And it is just helping people to see that the whole time. You know, the coffee team aren't just kind of sorting out coffee for us on a Sunday morning. They're doing something. They're saying something about the church, which is why we serve good quality coffee, and we want to be generous with that. And we have Donut Sundays because, as you were saying, the gospel is worth it. We love Jesus, and we want to make you feel as welcomed as you can. And just as if you came into our homes, we would give you, you know, good coffee to drink and good snacks. So we want to do that on a Sunday morning, because actually, you know, we're welcoming you on behalf of Christ. And while helping people to see that, it helps them to keep thinking about why I'm doing it, keep going back to a Romans 12 kind of model, rather than a, oh, this is just you, it's just my turn this week. You know, it lifts our eyes. Yeah. So we need to keep revisiting in that sense.
It's because you always tend, in any job, but particularly in the church, to tend towards focusing on the job rather than the purpose of the job. And so, yeah, giving people the connection to say, I'm not just delivering coffee, I am part of welcoming people. So just it puts just a whole different slant on it. It just changes your attitude to it, because if you're just trying to deliver 200 coffees, there's a way you would do that. So you try and, what's the most efficient way to deliver 200 coffees to people? So you don't have to be cheerful about it. There's no need to. It's all about efficiency and getting away, getting the job done, getting home. Whereas if it's about welcoming people, it's much more people focused. So I know we're getting quite excited about the coffee. So if anyone's listening to this and...
Well, I don't even drink coffee, so it's boring to me.
But anyone's listening, well,
I'm a coffee
junkie. Do you eat the donuts, though?
No, I don't. Oh. I don't even eat the donuts. I'm, yeah.
Oh, man.
I'm strict on myself. Disciplined is what I'd say.
Good man, Josh.
Yeah, that's good. This is not for you. But hopefully there are other ways in which you feel welcome.
I love donut sundae.
Yeah, I know. I wouldn't take it away from
I love the custard donuts as well, rather than the jam ones.
We're going to speak about who we are serving, but I want to ask a slightly different question about who is serving, because we've been talking about membership last week and the church before that. So we're clearly talking about the church serving, but my question more specifically is, do church leaders serve? Where is the line for you guys? Like, I've often wondered, where's the line between work and service? Do you draw a line? Is there a distinction? Are you serving or are you working? How does that work out for you guys?
Yeah, well, I think at a high level, we would say that we're members of the church first, and we're released from having to work to gain money elsewhere. So we're released to be able to full-time devote ourselves to serving in the church. So I think we would try and have a twofold approach. On the one hand, we recognise we're employees of the church. So we have kind of mutual obligations with our employer, the church. So we the church needs to be responsible in paying us fairly and treating us fairly, and we need to be responsible in working fairly for them. So there's that transaction, if you like, going on, and as responsible Christians, we want to be fair in that transaction and not abuse that. But that then provides the context in which we're released. So then I think we consider, how can we serve through the week, fulfilling our employed obligations, but also fulfilling our obligations to the church. So in a way where we're like any other member of the church who has opportunities to serve that's more than their employment. It's just we have big chunks of employment where we are able to serve, but we have lots of other time. So we tend to not have some really fine distinction that says now we're working, now we're not. So if we come out and lead a community group, we're not kind of saying this is our paid hours. Right. We're saying this is just part of being a member of the church and, you know, a leader of a community group. Mm. You know, if we're doing something on a Saturday or whatever, we're not suddenly thinking this is overtime. Mm-hmm. So there is a blurring, but there's just because we're employees, there's just a responsibility. We have to kind of not become so fluid that we're either irresponsible or we think we're better than everyone else and we can just work the whole week without a break because we're special. So there can sometimes be a bit of an arrogance in that. So you have to kind of check that at the same time. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think it's one of those, all those who are ministers in have work it out differently, aren't they? There's some who are very chunked. So I know a guy, he would say, well, I work a 50-hour week. And the reason I do that is I would have been employed 40 hours. And when I wasn't employed by the church, I'd have done at least 10 hours of serving in the life of the church. So, you know, if I'm working 50, 55 hours a week, you know, but then you're into, well, what counts as 50, 55 hours? You know, if I'm leading a community group, is that work or is that... And I think it just gets messy. And I think the bottom line is we've been released. And so my kind of view is that everything's ministry, you know, that we've been set apart to serve and minister. Mm-hmm. Therefore, all that we do is really hard to say, this is me serving, this is me employed. So it's easy to just say, actually, everything is ministry. I'm just serving Christ in the way in which he has called me to serve, which is to serve this local church, to be an under shepherd in this local church, and to do that as best as I can, recognizing that I have responsibilities as a husband, as a father, you know, as a son, but I also have responsibilities as a pastor of this local church. And I think as soon as you start getting into, well, it's not my hours and this is not, then I think you end up in a difficulty, but you also want to recognize we need a day off. You know, Jesus says that. But I don't want to be so precious about my day off that if someone phones up and says, hey, Mark, I'm in a real crisis, can I come round? Well, no, I'm sorry, it's my day off. Mm. You know, because actually you're just part of the body and it's serving and we're getting on and we're loving people.
Yeah.
But there are times when I need to guard my family life, and that's okay as well. You know, it's not a crisis. And someone says, hey, can I come around? Well, actually, no, I'm really sorry. I can't, because actually I need this is the time where I'm meeting with my family and ministering to them. And actually, I think as a church leader, your primary response in one sense, if you're not upholding and caring and pastoring your family, then actually everything else begins to tumble. So
yeah, and there's a sort of modelling of that to the church as well, because we're encouraging people not to make work an idol. So we need to make sure we don't make our church work an idol in the same way. You could say, well, you can never do enough for Christ, and that's true. But in terms of the actual activity of working in the church, that can become idolatrous in of itself, even though it's for good purpose. Mm. You know, like our work is often for good purpose.
Yeah,
that can become an idol. So we want to model some moderation in that.
Also, there's surely an element of... If you were to burn yourself out, you would not be effective anymore.
Yeah.
So, you know, you have to be reasonable in what you can do and then do those things effectively.
But I'm also, I'm a creature. Yeah. I'm not the creator. So I need rest and I need time off. And actually, I think it's also knowing yourself as well. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I've come to realise that although I am an extrovert, I'm also a deep introvert. So if I'm always doing extrovert stuff, which I love, the preaching, the teaching, the kind of all that kind of side of things, meeting with people. But in order for me to function that, I also need time in my week where I'm kind of withdrawn, because that's just who I am. It's the way God has, it's not sinful, it's not wrong, it's just the way God has wired me up, and therefore I recognize that balance needs to be in my week, some week. Now, under Christ, that's not always possible. But I also trust, therefore, Christ will give me what I need in the moments like that. But I need to be wise about how I steward my energy, my time, for his glory. I think the danger within the Christian work is, I remember years ago someone said to me, you know, there's two types of workers in the Christian world. There's Christian workers and there's Christian shirkers. And that tends to be my experience. The guys are either full on or they're kind of slightly, let me put it bluntly, lazy. And they shirk, you know, and they hide away. And they're not going as much as they can. And it seems to be in those, and then you want to be in a worker, being wise and godly and steward-like, recognising we're serving Christ. And what a privilege.
And those principles kind of apply to people who don't work in the church too, in terms of, you know, managing time with work and family and making sure that those things are all balanced.
Well, I think it's a really good... at the end of the day, isn't it? If I'm not working for a church, I'm using inverted commas here, which no one can see, but with my fingers... But I am in secular work, and we've got a podcast on this. At the end of the day, that is still my mission field, and I'm still serving Christ when I'm there, and I can still bring him honour and glory and testify to his name in how I do that work. And then I come home and I care for my family, and then I seek to engage with my church family. In one sense, it's all ministry, isn't it? You know, but we're so block this out, and I need my time and my space, and we recognize all of those things, but we don't want to become so precious about it that actually you end up making the rest or my, you know, a god.
I think it might be slightly behind your question as well, that we need some structure in the church in terms of kind of who serves where. So we as leaders need to be prepared to serve in all kinds of sort of practical, you might call them menial tasks, and sometimes to do that. But just like in Acts 6, where the apostles were getting kind of distracted with waiting on tables and caring for widows, there was no suggestion that was a useless job. It was a really important job, but if they were doing that, it would suck up all their time. So it's a really difficult balance because we want a model. Yes, we're absolutely happy to put out chairs. We're absolutely happy to put, you know, clean the toilets and to do every practical job in the church. We're very willing to do that, you know, bodies enabling. But if we just did that, it would be a great model to everyone, but we wouldn't get anything else done and we wouldn't be free to do all the other things. So it's kind of a difficult balance. We're not trying to say we're more important than those jobs. So you'd never want, you know, any leader in the church to say, I'm too important to be setting out the chairs. That's not my job. But you would want to say, you know, generally speaking, we've had to allocate people to do that because that makes the church function better. I'm never refused to help. If, you know, if there's a problem, you know, I'll help and, you know, happy to do that. But if I do that, then I'm not doing my job and I'm being irresponsible in what God's called me to do. So that's something else
and,
to think
and
about.
Yeah, at the end of the day, our primary responsibility is to feed the church, and we feed them which is why we've been set aside, to study God's word and to pray and to therefore be able to teach well. And the danger is that you end up squeezing all of that because you think it's somehow better to do all the other stuff, but actually we need to be fighting for that time as well, which means not just actually us studying the word to teach on a Sunday, but also studying widely, reading widely, in order to be able to better teach God's word, in order to be able to better equip. That's what we've been set aside and called to do. But at the same time, hey, chairs need to be set out sometimes, and that, you know, there's no one else around, so hey, I'll pitch in. Although I can't do that so much these days of the back, but you know, in principle,
yeah, baptizing though,
yeah, I am baptizing.
Baptizing
first time on Sunday.
It's more weightless than the water. That's why.
Yeah. Well, it's also in God's goodness, it's a lot of young people who are much lighter and younger than.
So you were going to ask us.
Yeah, well,
who?
I want to stop talking about you two now and start talking about the church more generally.
Yeah.
So what? When we are serving as a church, who are we serving?
Jesus.
Thanks. Next question.
Now, how do we kind of express that? And because that's the problem, isn't it? That we get the idea that we're serving the church, which is true, but it makes us feel too much like we're serving an organisation rather than the person Christ, and it also makes us perhaps feel, I don't know, a little bit grudging about that, or a little bit kind of limited in that, and. So we want to encourage people always to think that ultimately we're serving Christ. Well, we're doing that as we serve each other in some way, or serve the kind of function of the church. But ultimately, you know, we look up and serve Christ. And we were sort of talking off air about this thing about thanking. We were sort of challenged about when you thank someone, let's say for turning up to a meeting. So if someone turns up to a prayer meeting and I preach or do some exhortation. So do I say, thanks for coming? And what message does that give if I say thanks for coming? It gives a message that I'm appreciating the fact that they've turned up to listen to me. Or am I thanking them on behalf of God? It sort of raises questions. So then take it to an area of service and say someone's served. Is saying thank you to them giving them the impression that they did it for you? Or is there better language we can use in terms of encouraging them to say, I'm thankful to God for what you did. That was really helpful to me. Praise God. Kind of directing them upwards a bit. Is that a fair way of expressing it?
I think it's a really good question to think about, because I think, you know, who do we serve? Jesus. How do I serve? By serving others. Mm. If someone is looking after my child, for example, in the youth group, you know, what is an appropriate response at the end of the evening? Hey, thanks, guys, for your hard work this evening. You know, as a father, that's surely there's just a natural politeness and response to that, isn't there? Mm. But if I'm thanking people, you know, as if and people then are expecting, you know, I need to be thanked. You know, I can't believe no one's thanking me. There's something wrong there as well. But I think the language the Bible uses is encourage. I want to encourage these guys. You know, thanks, guys, for looking at you. You've done such a great job. The kids loved it. They really learned loads about Christ tonight. Hey, they were really struck by this. Now, I'm not just thanking. I'm encouraging them of God's work, that how he's used them in their life. And I think that's how we build the church up. So I think sometimes we can just say thank you. And it can be, I'm genuinely appreciative because of you've served me and you know, thank you for doing so. Mm. But I think we want to take it to that next level, which is why I think you're seeing, is actually we're not just saying thank you. You know, we want to encourage, because actually we want to encourage God's work in them. We want to encourage them for the fact that they are serving Christ faithfully. They're giving up their time. They're seeking to love others. And I think we just want to be a little bit more thoughtful in how we thank, rather than you suddenly go to the opposite extreme where no one ever thanks anyone.
It's both and, isn't it?
Well, yeah. I think it is. And I think there's a general politeness. You know, thank you for caring for my child, or hey, thanks for cleaning up the toilets. That's a great help. You know, but I think we want to encourage folk much more in the sense of, you know, for God's work in their life and for helping them to connect to the gospel purpose.
It's a problem that it becomes a bit too transactional. So in giving gifts to the leaders of your group at the end of the year, it then becomes too much, feels like a bit of a transaction that they're helping you, so you appreciate them and you give gifts to them and so forth. And the transaction is very horizontal. And so, yeah, it might seem a bit petty. And sometimes when we've kind of discussed this as elders or with other people, you kind of get into a little bit of a hole about saying, well, that, you know, it makes you kind of just grumpy and unappreciative. And so we've kind of developed our thinking, I suppose, in thinking about, like you said, it is both and, but there is a danger that it becomes a bit too transactional between. And, you know, someone turns up for a church meeting, say, you know, you want, in our case, you know, 60 people to show up. Do I say thank you to them, or do I just encourage them? It's great that you were here tonight. You know, I really appreciate it. I'm thankful to God for, you know, that we're together as a church. I think that's a better message to give than thanks for turning up because it helped me out, because you enabled me to make a decision as a leader. You know? And that's where it's just veering towards too much. They're coming because they're obliged to me. Right. I want them to come because they're obliged to Christ.
I think that's the big underliner for us, isn't it? Yeah. Like, what we don't want to be given the message that somehow you are serving me as a church leader by doing what you do. But I recognise at times, you know, as a father, hey, you are serving me and serving Christ in that, because you're caring for my and inputting into my, you know what? Praise God for you. Thank you for doing that. You know, and I think that's absolutely right. But I think it's that sense of, as a church leader, I'm not thanking people, hey, thank you for your services, if somehow you've done it for me. Hey, thank you for your work for Christ. Thank you that you are, you know, seeking. And there is a sense, as a leader, you want to do that because you want to encourage people. But I think it's that encourage word that's key.
Yeah.
How do we encourage people to keep serving for Christ and for His glory? Yeah.
So should we talk about service in of itself? How? What are some of the ways that people can and do serve in church?
Yeah. I suppose maybe we've talked about it in the kind of general stuff, but diligently, cheerfully, faithfully, all those kind of things as a sort of general way that we serve. So whatever mission we're given, whatever task we're given, doing it cheerfully is really important. Mm-hmm. It's a way of giving, and we do that cheerfully. Do it diligently, like, you know, if we're called to do a task, we follow it all the way through. Do it faithfully, like if we're supposed to turn up at a particular time, we do. If it's a regular thing every Sunday, we don't think, oh, I'll do it some Sundays and not others. So I think all those kind of general principles. But in terms of what we actually do, really, there's just such a wide variety. You know, and as God has blessed us as a larger church, there's lots of ways that you can pitch in and serve. There's new ways that you can develop to serve. There's whole ministries, you know, an individual can develop themselves, in fact, that we want to encourage as well sometimes. But you know, when we did a survey in our church recently where we pushed out to members a little questionnaire, which kind of seemed a bit crazy for a church of 150 members, but actually it produced quite a lot of interesting results where people perhaps didn't realise that there was opportunities to serve in welcoming. There was opportunities to serve in doing the sound and visuals. There was opportunities to serve in some of the children's groups, in kind of helping here or helping there and doing the coffee. There was opportunities to be trained in biblical counselling. There was opportunities in arranging events. So all kinds of different areas where people said, well, I'd be quite willing to do that. So it was really encouraging, actually, the whole kind of process. So I don't know if that's what you were thinking about in terms of the where to serve.
I mean, that's certainly the you know, the cheerful diligence where.
Yeah.
Chuck, we were, you know, talking, you know, we talk often, Graham and I, that probably doesn't surprise anyone. But in terms of the sense these days of sometimes that, you know, all those things of how we serve, but there can be a disconnect as if, and particularly as a parent of kind of young children, well, they're not that young these days, but in the sense of, what am I modelling? So the danger is that I can sometimes give the impression I'm off to do my thing. You know, like the non-Christian, right, this is my gym time, this is my serving time. And I think we just want to be careful how it's not kind of volunteering in the way that I would with any other charity. You know, I am submitting myself to others. I'm seeking to lay down my life. I'm seeking to model all of those kind of things as well. But more than that, it's you don't want to distinguish it out in family life in terms of how we serve, but we want to somehow bring the kids in with that, so they're part of that from a young age as well. It's just one of the things Graham's often said to me as a parent, you know, is involve your kids in everything. Just keep bringing them along. So when you serve, bring them along. So, you know, we try and encourage our boys, you know, as come and join the setup, you know, in terms of the who. You know, generally members serve, but there are certain things where, hey, come along, you know, get involved in setting up, you know, help mum as she's sorting out the on the coffee roaster this morning, you know, help in these ways, because it helps to build that sense of we're not just serving as my thing, this is my little thing I do, but actually we're doing something much bigger together, and as a family together, this is what we do. And I kind of think of those words of, you know, Joshua, where he talks to you, me and my family will serve Yahweh. It's that idea, you know, how do we do that together as a family as well, rather than just, hey, this is mum's thing, this is dad's thing. You know, as a family, let's serve together. Mm. You know, come together, church, come to meetings together where you can, serve together where you can.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's helpful.
And we always wanted to encourage our kids to think church is their family, even when they weren't baptised members of the church, to always think this is your family and this is actually fun time. So we never wanted to compete serving in the church against going to McDonald's or going to the cinema. Right. We did those things. A lot of going to McDonald's.
Exciting to be a Nichols child.
Yeah, but we never wanted to say, well, okay, here's the fun time, you know, let's go to Brighton, and here's the boring time, let's go to church. We always wanted to say, here's the fun time going to church, here's some fun time going to Brighton, and they're all of a piece. They're all part of our family life. Yeah. And I think it's really hard to... Cultures are really hard to kind of just describe in a few words, but I think it gave a culture to our kids that they think church is all right. They think it's part of life, and it's part of what we do, and we enjoy it, rather than this is an obligation that I've got to fulfil, and then I go and do my real life.
Yeah, and I think that's why, you know, in terms of my serving, I've done my bit.
Yeah.
Now let's get on. Hey, Dad's just nipping out to do his bit, and then, hey, let's get on with some family life. This is just what we do. Hey, we're a family that serves Jesus. Praise God. Let's enjoy that together.
No, that's great. Well, look, it's nearing the end of the podcast for sure. I'm aware that we're up against time, but I want to ask you one more question, which I just can't let go.
Sure.
So I want to ask you about the balance. Again, this is a complicated equation, isn't it? But I want to throw one more thing into it, which is how do we make sure that we are not committing to a church in such a way that we have no time to be present in our community, to build relationships with people outside of church for multiple reasons, obviously primarily to eventually have gospel conversations with them, but also to make sure that we're literate in the world, we know the way people think and what they're talking about, and we're interacting with people who aren't just our church friends. Because I think it happens a lot. You know, I know people who don't have any friends who are not non-Christians, and I sort of think, we're supposed to be salt and light in the world, aren't we? And sometimes I think that's driven by the fact that I'm doing this meeting, I'm leading at this group, I'm doing these service things, I need to spend some time with my family at home, I'm going to work all the time, and therefore there's no more time to be active in your community, to join clubs, to go to the pub, to do these things. So how do we bring that into this equation, and what's the right balance to get with that? Tough question, I know, when you've only got 30 seconds.
I don't have a clue in one sense, in the way that I don't have a clue how much is exactly the right amount of time to spend with your family. So if you just narrowed it down to that, say, well, how do I know I'm spending enough time with my family? You don't really know whether you spend enough. You know, is an hour a week with your family enough? Probably not. You know, is 50 hours a week. So where do you find a sort of balance in between that? So I think when you then connect that with the church and serving and all those things, it's hard to say this is right and this is wrong.
Yeah.
I think there is a sense of seasons where I think there are seasons in your life where it's easier to connect with people who are not Christians, and seasons when it's just plain harder. And you have to accept that to some degree, and not try and create a whole load of kind of friendships that aren't really there naturally, and say, well, this is my season for serving more inside the church, and by serving in the church, I am connecting with non-Christians in some way. So I think I think prayer, consultation with others, is really helpful in balancing these things. So as I say, because it's not an absolute, it's more like praying about it and actually talking to others about kind of what they're doing and kind of thinking, do you think I'm serving too much, or do you think I ought to be doing, you know, something else? Did I ought to do a, you know, some kind of club? Did I ought to join something and somehow, you know, make more connection in the world? Or do you find that I am disconnected? You know, it might sound trivial, but I've about the last 2 months I've started listening to Radio 1 a lot more. Because it's not because I'm trying to recapture my youth. It's just because I'm trying to kind of listen to both the music, but also the kind of topics that's being listened to on Radio 1. So yeah. I know that's not quite answering your question, but it's kind of an example of where I'm thinking I'm a little bit disconnected. You know, I'm hearing names of artists and I don't really know them. And, you know, certain news items, I think I just need to connect up a little bit more with that. I need to just understand who are the main kind of, you know, YouTube bloggers. So it's not massive cultural engagement, but it's kind of understanding. So I do need to devote time to that. And sometimes you need to sort of, I don't know, as you pray, sometimes that becomes clear, or someone might point it out to you and something like that. So I don't know whether I'm just digging myself into a hole.
Well, I think in all of that, you know, it is, I think sometimes we hide behind it. So I can use serving to hide. So, and I kind of tick it as, hey, well, I'm doing all this for the church. I'm done my bit. True, I'm hiding from having to evangelize. Right. I'm hiding from having to do the outreach stuff. So I think I have to guard my heart against that. And I think I can tell myself the lie that because I'm so involved in the church, therefore I don't need to reach out. Yeah. And I think, you know, that the Lord calls me to be, you know, give account, to reach out, to be salt and light. So I've got to take that into account, and I've got to therefore work out if I'm not doing that, or it's not a particular season of my life where it's easier to do that, then I've got to be more creative in finding how to do that. And that may be I'm connecting it in with other groups in the life of the church. So, hey, if I'm running a men's group, let's go and do that in Nero's rather than in our house. So actually people can see us doing it, and it may just, you know, give opportunity.
Other cafes are available.
Not that many in Haversheath. But in the reality, there's that. I think the other thing is that often people talk about what priorities in terms of church, God, family, work, church, you know, in that kind of way, as if that's the hierarchy, and therefore I've got to, as long as I'm doing that, and therefore I'll give what I can. And I think one of the things that we teach in terms of our leaders, we get from a book called Wisdom in Leadership. I can't think of the name of the author, but he talks about lily pads, which I think is a really helpful one, in the sense that we have all these responsibilities, and it's at times one of those lily pads will float much more into focus that I need to deal with. So that may be that actually I just need to be spending more time at home at this point, because that is where the urgency is. I need to input more into my kids. But other times that will go out slightly, and actually I need to do much more time at work, and I need to input into that more than I am in other ways. And other times I need to bring, you know, church much more into focus, because actually it's a demanding season in the life. So I think there's that flexibility.
Yeah.
And I'm seeking to guard and think, actually, am I overbalanced in this area? Have I not done this? You know, I'm commanded the mission of the church to make disciples. How am I doing that? How is my connection doing that? Is it too inward? Do I need to be a little bit more external, rather than saying, actually, okay, you need to serve the, you know, which generally I kind of, we encourage people just to serve in one main ministry in the life of the church. Mm-hmm. So we don't expect people, you know, we want them to commit to one main ministry, and that be where they serve, rather than thinking they've got to be on everything.
Yeah.
And it does help if you're including your family in service in some way, that it's not then trading off against those things.
Mm-hmm. And I think we've just got to be more creative.
Yeah.
So if I'm on a team, a youth team or a setup team, how do I then, as a team, that becomes an area where I'm encouraged, engaged, how can we then, as a team with a particular interest, because, hey, we're serving together in this area, then use that to reach others, you know, non-Christians? How can we make that an external-looking group rather than just internally serving? And I think it's just worth thinking about that at times, rather than thinking, oh, I just do our thing for the church. Are there other ways we can engage or bring in or connect? Mm-hmm. Time is well gone today, Josh.
Time is gone.
You're like, you kind of threw that extra curve.
I did. Yeah. No, that's, you know, okay.
Everyone's,
I think,
like,
that's helpful.
We're going to finish soon.
Yeah. Any final thoughts? I think that's helpful, though.
No. Service is a good idea, though.
Serve well. Great. Serve hard. Love Jesus. Thank you.
want to contact us with your questions or feedback, then please email ordinary@cchh.org.uk. Be sure to come back next week when we're going to be talking about hospitality. I know what you're thinking, because I thought it too. A whole podcast on hospitality, is that really necessary? But trust me, it's more fundamental than you think. Thanks for listening. Catch you again next time.